Today I'd like to share some ideas with you in the area of use of time and objectives. And as we go through this session together, it'll be important that you do certain things, and so I'll help you in that process as we go along in the session today. In the late 50s, it became very, very apparent that the most significant scientific event of the entire decade of the 60s was going to be man in space, and in fact, man on the moon. And as I was working at Cape Kennedy during the early 60s, 1960 to 62, I was very caught up in the whole process of getting all that done. And it's hard to imagine or to describe the tremendous concentration that took place to get that to happen. Because we knew the Russians were also doing the same thing. The result was that the Russians put a man in space suborbital on April 12, 1961, and our commander, Alan Shepard, went into space just less than a month later, 5 May, 61. And then, of course, we put man on the moon within the decade. And the lesson that that taught me is that there is very little that you cannot do if you really decide to concentrate on it. I think almost any one of us in this room, within certain reasonable limits, if we decide to do something and you really put your mind to it, you can do it. If you perhaps it may call for eliminating everything else. Most of us experience, though, that in our lives it becomes a frenzy of activity, of motion, and things that just leave us exhausted, perhaps empty, and maybe wondering if after the year has been accomplished, if there has been any real gain throughout that year. And I don't know whether many of you make New Year's resolutions, but if you do, your experience is probably that they're very difficult to keep, no matter how simple it is. And in your life, if you're like me, you may feel kind of like a teaspoon of butter having to spread an entire loaf of bread. You're just spread too thin to do any good anywhere, and you can't even taste it. When I was in high school, my life was a flurry of activity, and I was doing everything. I was involved in a Youth for Christ circumstance. I was involved in our church. I'd become a Christian just a short time before getting into high school, and I was just gone night and day. And when I graduated from high school, there were a number of people who were somewhat disappointed that I didn't go into some Christian ministry, but instead went into engineering. But in my own heart, I knew that somehow I didn't have a grasp on really what Christianity was all about in terms of making it work in real life. I got into college, and Ron Ortley, a friend of mine who was a roommate of mine there, discipled me, helped me see that I need to put certain things first, my personal devotional life, Bible study, and some other issues that came up in my life. But very quickly, even though I started getting this into focus, I started slipping off into just building up activities and doing things again. When I graduated from college and went on active duty in the Air Force, I again fell into the same trap. And for 2 years, during this period that I described, 60 to 62, I think I was involved in perhaps everything that you could possibly be involved in down at Patrick Air Force Base. I was working 8 to 12 hours a day regularly. I was involved in some choral society. I was involved in the chapel, and we had Bible studies in our home, and I was involved in sports, everything that you can imagine, except perhaps as much as I ought to have been with my family. And at the end of that time, I ended up flat on my back, ill. With some flu-type thing, but I really feel it was just physical exhaustion. And after staying in bed about a week, I got up and tried to go to work, couldn't make it through noon, and would come back home because I was just too weak. And through that process, God really got my attention and made me determine that I would never get into a circumstance like that again in my life where I run my body to the core and where I just doing so many things and questionable as to whether I'm accomplishing anything. And I wonder how many of us end up in that same kind of a thing. Now, I'm not much of a poet, but I've got a poem I want to read to you today. I don't think I read this earlier. I may have. It has to do with time and purpose. It says this, we go and keep on going until the object of the game seems to be to go and keep on going. We do and keep on doing until we do, without knowing, without feeling. Is there no time to stop and reflect? Is there no time to stop? Is there no time? If we stopped, would we keep on going? If we reflected, would we keep doing what we do? For what we have done and where we have gone is dissolved into oblivion or strung on the meaningless chain of half-remembered this and that, if there is no reflection. In all our doing, have we done anything? In all our going, have we been anywhere? And I think that poem describes the feeling that many of us get into when we try and evaluate what we're really doing. How many of you have actually tried to evaluate your objectives and to schedule your time? Can I see your hands? How many have failed? No one put your hand down, I hope. Because all of us are in that circumstance. I have been in a number of workshops on use of time, and I've also given a number of them. And there is often the frustration that there's not even time to do this planning that we're talking about. Because in order to do it right, you've got to sit down and work on some things. Now, that's why today I want to work on some things in the class with you. Now, I personally believe that Jesus Christ concentrated and limited himself in terms of his activities. Jesus Christ did not heal all the people. He did not preach to all the people in Galilee. He did not have everybody who were committed to God as his disciples. But in Mark 3:14, says he ordained 12 that they might be with him, that he might send them forth to preach. Jesus taught the masses. He selected 70 as special emissaries. He trained the 12, and he gave special attention to three men in the context of this 12, Peter, James, and John. If you look at Luke 9:57-62, you'll find that there were some choices that were made in that particular passage. In Luke 9, it says, as they were going along the road, someone said to him, I'll follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, the foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. And he said to another, follow me. And he said, permit me first to go and bury my father. But he said to him, allow the dead to bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the king everywhere the kingdom of God. And another also said, I will follow you, Lord, but first permit me to say goodbye to those who are at home. But Jesus said to him, no one, after putting his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Now, there is much that could be said in this area in terms of lordship and so forth. But the key thing I want you to notice from those six verses is that in the three instances, every person had a choice. They could either choose to do what Jesus said and asked, or choose to do what they wanted to do in their own lives. Now, all of us have choices. And unless we learn to make choices properly, then we really won't get anything accomplished. If all we do is follow the impulse of the moment and our own desire, it's unlikely that we'll ever be effective Christians. And so I think one of the key things that you have to do at the beginning of even thinking about using your time is to make some hard choices. The Christian life is not particularly an easy life in many cases. There are a lot of decisions to make. Now, this workshop is different than if I were giving this to just a group of non-Christians. Because to a group of non-Christians, there would be the key element missing. That is, what does God want you to do? In the secular world, all you have to do is figure out what you want to do, then plan it in and schedule your time. There's no particular outside element either dictating or influencing your thinking, unless it would be an employer or something like that. But in our circumstance, we have to get a little bit deeper. Just jot down Ecclesiastes 3:1-12. Ecclesiastes 3:1-12. I'll read just a few of those verses. I think once I start reading it, it'll come back to your mind pretty quickly as to that particular passage. This is one passage that is talking about time, and it says, there is an appointed time for everything. And there is a time for every event under heaven, a time to give birth and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to uproot what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to throw stones and a time to gather stones, a time to embrace, a time to shun embracing, a time to search and a time to give up the lost, and so forth. It goes on. And the key issue there is that God has an appointed time for everything, whether that be great events in society or your personal activities. God has a plan for the use of your time. If we would look in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 13 through 17, is probably one of the key verses, passages in the New Testament on time. Ephesians 5:13 says, but when all things become visible, when they are exposed by the light, for everything that becomes visible is light. For this reason it says, awake, sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Therefore be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. So then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. The comparison is made here. It says the man or woman who does not understand what God wants them to do and who does not use his time wisely is a foolish person. Now, you would perhaps be offended if I would call you a fool, but the scriptures get away with a lot of things that men can't get away with. They say you're foolish if you do not learn to use your time well. So God expects that. But just as if you're going to use your time, you have to say, well, what should I use my time doing? Where am I going? Someone has said, if you aim at nothing, you're sure to hit it. And you've got to have some kind of an objective. Now, I'd like to share with you some ideas that relate first to priorities and objectives. Now, in this process, I'd like to spend some time just describing what an objective is and what priorities are. First of all of our decisions are made on one of five motivations. Every decision you make in life is going to be made on these. The first is on habit. You do it simply because you've always done it. How many of you really think through brushing your teeth? You know, up, down, sideways, up, up, you know, somehow you just kind of do it automatically. You put your clothes on and you just sort of do it. There are many things in your life that you do simply by habit that are very, very good. I mean, if it weren't for habit, you'd wear yourself out by 8 o'clock in the morning. Or for me, by 9, because I don't like to get up too early. Okay? Now, habit can serve you well or it can hinder you. Many of us have bad habits and good habits. And so, but if habit is one of the things that make us do things. The second is the area of urgency or fear. We do things because of fear. Now you say, well, now do I really? Well, yeah, you do. Now, if any of you were students or are students, you study not so much because you want to, because you're going to have a test, right? Many of you come to meetings on time because you don't want the embarrassment of walking in late. Many of you ladies will have a rather mad scramble just an hour or two ahead of guests arriving to get the place clean, see, because there's an urgency or a fear of some sort. Now that, again, urgency and fear are good, but in most cases, if that's all that drives you, it certainly is not setting an objective and keeping it. The third area is that of desire. Lust. Just doing it because you plain want to do it. You know, most men watch a football game not because it's part of a plan, you know, a big something that really contributes to life, but simply because you want to do it. Here again, certain things are not wrong just because you want to do them. That's part of recreation. But if that controls your life, then it's wrong. The fourth is in the area of expediency. It's a difficult thing to describe what expediency means. But it basically, someone helped me with this one time in a class. It's a justification for a questionable method. You know, we just do it because it'll get it done. It's not necessarily the right way to do it, not necessarily the right thing to do it, but it gets you by. And so it's just kind of getting it over with. It may be an entirely a wrong method. Another one, someone could express it as the concept that the end justifies the means. Wouldn't that be another way, perhaps, to talk about expediency? Okay, the last one is direction by your own choice, either direction by God or by your own personal choice. Now, this is the one that I'd like to work on with you today. Now, these first four just happen. They happen whether you want them to happen or not. And they happen to every one of you every day. But the last one is one that you must work on. Now, the key is to, by making the right choices, to develop the right habits. And if you develop the right habits, then habit serves you. And so forth. So, we want to learn to make choices in the midst of what we're calling the great time crunch. Jot down the verses, I won't look them up. Romans 13:11-14. Romans 13:11-14. And it talks about waking up because God has something special in your life. And you can look that up and read that on your own. Now the key to concentrating on anything are three things: objectives, priorities, and the use of your time. Let me just comment for a moment on time. We all have time to do what we really want to do. I remember when I first came to the Air Force Academy, I always thought the cadets were so busy that how could you ever get them involved in Bible studies? And their time was just so occupied. And I soon found out that if a cadet, even as a fourth classman or a freshman, wanted to ski, somehow he schemed away to ski almost every weekend. He'd go first with the chapel party, then he'd go with the ski club, and then he'd go with this club, and then he'd take a weekend of his own, and go do it. But I found out that a guy who really wanted to do something could do it all the time. And it was a good lesson to me that most of us who really want to do something, we can find time to do it. And so in reality, it's not that we do not have time to do something, but that it is not high enough on our priority list to make time for it. Isn't that generally right? And we really do have time. Now, there may be things that are lower on the priority list that we really want to do. And in that sense, we don't have time. But the fact is, it's not up there high enough on our priority list. Turn with me to Luke 10, Luke chapter 10, beginning at verse 38. This is the story of Mary and Martha. Now, as they were traveling along, he entered a certain village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. And she had a sister called Mary, who moreover was listening to the Lord's word, seated at his feet. But Martha was distracted with all her preparations. And she came up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? Then tell her to help me." But the Lord answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered about so many things, but only a few things are necessary, really only one. For Mary has chosen the good part which shall not be taken away from her." That's a good verse. Verse 42, if you want to memorize something, "but only a few things are necessary." Really, only one. See, most of us allow the urgent to run our lives, and we never make a choice on the few things that really are necessary. What really does run your life, by the way? What are the controlling factors? Money, a job, children, your husband or your wife, education, leisure, church activity? What is it that is the, are the basic controlling factors in your life? That's something that you probably ought to think about a little bit. But now let's get into this area of objectives. And first of all, let's just talk. We're not going to spend a lot of time on objectives, and we're not going to get real technical on what objectives are, but it is helpful to find out, pardon that top part, it's when I didn't have the right pen. Let's go to a definition of what an objective is, a very simple definition, and I think it's important in this whole topic to keep everything very simple. It's simply a specific goal to be reached at the end of a period of time. A specific goal to be reached at the end of some period of time. That's just some objective. Okay, now I'd like you to think for a moment about your life. Not just a week or 2 weeks. And I'd like you to take that piece of paper that I handed out, and I want to take about, just 3, maybe 4 minutes. And I'd like to ask you right now to just brainstorm on your own life. And what I want you to do is to write out several things that you would like to become in, say, 10 years. 10 years down the road, you'd like to have accomplished this. It can be in any area of your life you want, spiritual, job, family, ministry, anything you want. And write down, just brainstorm a batch of those things, 6, 7, 8, whatever it may be. So let's stop at this point and take about 4 minutes to do that. Okay? What I'd like you to do now is look over your list, and I'd like you to pick the 3 most important. The 3 most important to you right now of those things you've written down, just circle them. And I'm just going to give you about 30 seconds to do that. So go ahead and take time to circle the 3 most important of those objectives. Now, my purpose in having you do this little exercise was first to get you thinking long range and then to make you narrow some things down. Now, you should do that a little further to refine that more, but it's we're human beings. And even though we set maybe long-range objectives, very few of us are very good at connecting what we do today with what our long-term objective is. I mean, no matter how good we are at writing out beautiful statements, when we get into the day-by-day living, it gets confused and corrupted. So I'd like to work with you for a moment on just some shorter range objectives, and I'd like to point out just the 2 types of objectives. Long range, which I could be for some people, if you've never made an objective, long range could be 2 weeks. But I'm really thinking of something over about 2 years, something a little longer than 2 years. And then short range, which is days, weeks, months, anything up to about 2 years. Because you really can see where you're going in about that period of time. Short range is with where you know you can structure something to do it. Now, there are 4 categories of objectives and areas of your life that I believe describe most of our lives. The first category is your personal spiritual area. Just your own personal walk with God, those things that you do yourself. The second is in the area of family. The third is your job. And the fourth is your ministry or outreach. That is that which you do outwardly to share Christ with others, to reach out and within the church, to work with other Christians or something of that nature. So those 4 areas of your life. Now let me give you a few examples of objectives. Try this on for size. How about to read the Bible through in 1 year? Would that be an objective? Okay. To finish a job-related correspondence course by June 1st. Okay, it has a goal and a time frame, right? How about to take my son on 2 camping trips this year? Okay, now these are objectives, but they're a little bit limited in the kinds of objectives that they are. Now let me try a different statement of each of those. Okay, the first one I would phrase like this. To grow in my personal knowledge of the Scripture this year by 1, reading the Bible through in 1 year, 2, studying the Gospel of John and Galatians this year. Now, what have I done that's different? Pardon me? Okay, a quality. But I did. I separated two things. Okay. Pardon me? Okay, reading and studying in that section, I separated two other things. Okay, goals and methods, or goals and activities is what I'd call it. Or objective and activities. So the objective in that is to grow in my personal knowledge of the Scriptures. The activities that I'm going to do to accomplish that are reading the Bible through and studying John and Galatians. Let's try the second one. To increase my proficiency on the job in the areas of supervising within the next 9 months by, 1. Completing a supervisor's correspondence course by July 31st, 2. Praying daily for the men I supervise. You see what I've done there? I've made my objective and then set out activities to accomplish it. Now that's where most of us get ourselves confused. We confuse an activity with an objective. And I'd like to have you be able to discern that just because you do things, it may not contribute to any objective at all. It may be just going through the day. Let's try the third one, the camping trip business. To deepen my relationship with my son this year by A, taking him on 2 camping trips this year, B, going to at least 4 of his team's basketball games this winter. Now, that's fairly simple. There is nothing complex. Everybody could agree with those 3 things. Probably all of us could set an objective like that and relate to it. And the activities are extremely simple and low cost in terms of effort. Now, if I had said that I want to increase my prayer life this year by spending 3 hours daily in prayer for 6 months, now that would have sort of fried most of you, wouldn't it? I mean, you'd fail tomorrow morning. Now, see, that is not a realizable objective. It's not something that we can get our teeth into. It's not accomplishable. Now, see, as you go back and look at that, the camping trip with my son is not crucial, but the relationship is. See, reading through the Bible is not the big thing. You can read through the Bible and get nothing. But growing in knowledge of the Scriptures is what is important. So I'm trying in that case to separate out objectives and activities. Now, we're going to give a little whirl at you writing some for yourself, okay? And they're going to be very simple. I don't want them to be well stated, and let me give you a format. I want a blank sheet of 8.5 by 11 paper, and here's how I'd like you to divide that paper. Divide it into 4 quadrants. Line down the middle vertically and line down the middle horizontally. Okay, and if you need another piece of paper, just go get some. And if you would go and make the 4 categories: personal, family, job, ministry. And so divide it into those 4 categories. Now, what I would like to have you do, and I'll give you 4 or 5 minutes to do this. You can easily think of things in each of those areas that you need to work on. I don't want a lot of thought given to this, but I want you just brainstorm at random things that you need to do, you know, that are already kind of inside you that you know you need to do. In each of those areas, you can jump back and forth. You think of one in the family, think of one in the job, think of a couple personal. And I'd like you to get 3 or 4 or 5 in each of those areas. And I think you can go through and do that rather rapidly. So I'd like to stop now and have you just take time to jot down 4 or 5 things just at random in each of those areas that you'd like to do. Think of it in terms of fairly short-range things, not long-range. And think of things that have already probably been in your mind or you've been sort of on your conscience to do. So let's take time to do that now. At this point, we've had a number of things that you've shared. For instance, Bill shared to develop in the techniques of his job. Is that an objective or an activity? More of an objective. It leans toward the objective science type. Okay. Sid says he wants to spend more quality time with his children. Which is that, an objective or an activity? Pardon me? Okay, it's an objective. Now, I'm sorry, I forgot the name. Helen shared that you want to do one thing, a distasteful activity or something that you need to do each time. Is that an activity or an objective? Okay, now that is a borderline one. That's sliding toward the activity. That's doing something. Pat, you had shared that you wanted to spend particular time in prayer. Is that an objective or an activity? I think that probably leans a little toward an activity, doesn't it? Okay, and what were some other activities that were shared? Spend some time, the particular time with your children was kind of an activity. Okay, now, pardon me? Yeah, the meal planning would definitely have been an activity. And so what I'd like you to do at this point now, you've got your little list, and just go down through each one and write alongside each of the items that you have written in, either write objective or activity. And try and keep, you know, just write that along the side, OB or an A, by each one of those. And I'm not that interested in a precise definition. If it's obviously an activity, fine. If it's obviously an objective, fine. If it isn't, take your choice, okay? Take about a minute or two to do that now, please. Let's now go to the next step that I'd like to take you through in this process. I want you to just circle or underline or something one objective in each of those four categories. Just one that you think may be the most important or one that you would are most inclined to in each of those four areas. And in fact, what I'd like you to do, I don't have a blank piece of paper here, but or view graph. I'd like you on another side of that 8.5 by 11, just write that down, but not just, you know, on the little top part. Spread it over the entire page so you have room after each one of those four. Do you see what I mean? You know, spread it out, because I've got something I want you to do relating to each one of those. So put down personal and then what that objective is, family objective, and so forth. So would you just select one from each of the four areas that you have written down? You know, we aren't going to frame this and hang it on your living room wall. There's a lot more work to be done on this. So don't worry if it's not the precise one. I'm taking you through the process now. Okay? Okay, for the next thing, and you can continue your last process if you haven't quite finished it. Now, this is probably the most crucial point in the process. What you've done now, you've just brainstormed some objectives and activities, and you've tried to identify them. You've picked one objective in each area. Now, a crucial point is this. I want under each of those four objectives in job, family, ministry, and what did I miss? Personal, of course. Okay, under each of those, I want you to put one activity that you can do to help you meet this objective, or, you know, to just a process toward meeting it in the next month. Now, some guidelines. Keep it simple. Keep it realistic. Desire accomplished is sweet to the soul. And make it attainable. You know, like the illustration I gave on prayer. Well, that's an unattainable thing, 3 hours. But if it's on, you need some more time in prayer, make it 5 minutes daily. 5 out of 7 days a week. Or if it's in scripture memory, instead of trying a verse a day, try 2 per week. If it's in the area of the quiet time, instead of trying to get an hour a day in quiet time, get 15 good minutes with the Lord, an average of 5 out of 7 days a week. Do you see what I'm saying on those activities? Put a time with it or whatever it is to make it very specific. So go ahead and take time now and put one activity. You may have it in your list already, see, that list you brainstorm, and write it down under each of those four areas. Now, if you're perfect in the area of family or job, of course, you won't have an objective there. The next process here, and I'm continuing to beat on you, so to speak, I want you to pick one of those four objectives that you set down that would be the easiest for you to start right now, today or tomorrow or within the next couple days. Just put an asterisk or something by that one. Pick one of those four. Make it the easy, it may not be the most important, but the easiest one to begin immediately. Okay, do that right now. It should take you just a moment. Now, the second most crucial point in objectives, and this is where I personally have failed the most, and where I find that most fail the most. And recently, as I was thinking through why this is, here in the last 2 or 3 years, that I've come up with a little system that I think will help us to phase things into our lives. The first most crucial point, of course, was to have just one activity you're working on now. Now, this second one is to learn how to get these activities started. See, writing them down is no big deal. So the first thing is, look, let's say you have four activities, and those are 4 weeks. Okay, begin that one that you choose to begin right now, you know, tomorrow, today, and work only on it. Just forget the others. Now, I'm assuming that these are not super extensive ones right now, and so work on that one for a week, and then 1 week from now, start the second one. So you'll have gotten some habit going on the first one. And then start the second and keep the both of them going as best as you can. Then on the beginning of the third week, do it with the third objective, and the fourth with the fourth. Okay, now the idea here is to try and get one started. Now you may need a 2 week span. On some objectives, they may be complex enough or hard enough to put a month. Do you see what I mean? But the point is, only be working on any new objective by itself at one time. And get it started and then start doing it and then start forming habits. Now, what's going to happen as you get down here working on objective four? Objective one is going to get a little fuzzy. Okay, that's fine. You can see what is starting to be built in and what is starting to become habit. You can only sustain a disciplined effort in just a few areas of your life at any one point in your life. You know, you just can't be pounding yourself on the head on everything at once. We just can't emotionally handle it. Now, in a month, evaluate where you are. And you may need to kind of redo some things and keep going. You might want to add another activity under a key objective or add another objective. But see, you can use the same pattern for adding or adjusting. Now, there are several things. Keep trying. Don't give up. This will not work in a week. Keep it simple. Remember that discipline is going to be a key issue. If you are unwilling to discipline yourself, then this won't work at all. And don't expect miracles. This is not something that happens to a person overnight. If you're a person who isn't naturally a little bit organized, a little bit disciplined, you sort of fly by the seat of your pants, you know. You just sort of want, kind of let things happen. And so you won't see miracles on this in a matter of days. But you need to look at this in 1977 as continuing to work on certain issues. See, it may be you picked just four for all of 1977. Now, it depends on where you are. If it's a big objective, then it may be the case. If it's a little objective, you know, one that's very easily attainable, or an event that once you're done, see? You know, when you do a particular thing and that's it, well, then you can go on to other things. Now, I would like you to do something that is very hard to do. I would like you to think over your current activities. And I want you to write down on a piece of paper one activity that you are currently engaged in that you can eliminate in the next 3 months. Now, you may not do it. You may not have courage enough to do it. But I want you to write down one. Just think of one thing you're doing now on a moderately regular basis that you could eliminate.
Work.
Yeah, the job, the kids. No, I don't think that's where we're at. Now, surely there is something. Some wives are saying dishes. Okay, I'd like you to work on eliminating one activity. Now, the reason that I am doing this is it is impossible, folks, to keep adding activities onto your already busy schedule unless you can learn to eliminate some things that you are currently doing. Because all your time is filled up now, isn't it? Has anybody got loads of time on your hands right now? There may be some. You got loads of it? Okay, well, you're one man. Can you borrow some from Bob? But most people are already scheduled up, so you've got to learn to eliminate certain activities. Okay? Another thing is you've got to learn to say no. And finally, I would suggest having someone check up on you, share with them what you are doing. All right, at this point, do you have any questions on this process? The next section is just going to cover just use of time, and I have and I think I can do it. We have about 11 minutes left in our time, according to the clock out there, and I'm going to go to 5 minutes late. Okay?
Do you have any thing on eliminating activities?
Guidelines on eliminating activities. I haven't thought through any. They'd be off the top of my head, Charlotte. I have some thoughts. The things that I think you have to think through what you are doing that probably is unnecessary. Now, it may be that some of those things are recreational. I mean, we are not pushing for a Spartan existence where you're only doing the absolutely necessary. Let's say for a man that he may be watching every pro football game. Go on for a moment to some specific things on use of time. And just to give you an idea of what you're working with, let's just look at this. Okay, basically, there are 168 hours available in a week. Let's say you get 56 for rest and sleep. That's an average of 8 hours a day. 21 hours for eating. That's an average of an hour per meal. And 56 for work. That includes transportation. 40 hours plus 16 miscellaneous messed up hours of some sort. That makes 133 with 35 hours remaining. Okay? Let's do the calculation another way. Let's say you spend 8 hours a day on work, half an hour at lunch. And ladies, I apologize for you housewives. I've structured this somewhat to the working man or the working woman in the secular world, but I think you can fit it into the housewife's schedule. An hour a day for transportation. Another hour for the remaining two meals. 8 hours for sleep, and 1 hour a day for just miscellaneous stuff that just sort of happens. That's 19 and a half hours, or leaving you 4.5 hours a day. This is a crucial point that most people only have somewhere in the neighborhood of 4 hours a day at which you can really decide what you want to do, unless your job is such that you can do anything you want on your job. But really, most of us only have about 4 hours a day, 4.5 or 22.5 hours per week on the weekdays. Now, if you figure you can squeeze 8 hours out of Saturday for your own discretionary time and 6 on Sunday, not including church, that leaves you 36.5 hours a week, so approximately the same as this other calculation. Now, I'm going to assume that you really can't make use of that because it's fragmented time. It's 20 minutes here, and it's an hour here, and it's a messed up thing here, and so forth. So let's assume that you eliminate about 12.5 hours just due to getting messed up. It leaves you 24 hours in a week at which you can actually use for your own time. That's a fair amount. That's 3 full work days. That's 3/5, 60% of the time you give your employer to accomplish the objectives in the 3 areas other than your job. So that really is quite a bit. So let me just ask you to do something now with your current schedule. And what I'd like you to do is evaluate. The only way you can figure out whether you're using time well is for a week to keep some kind of a record at, say, 15-minute intervals, or half an hour, I don't care what it is, blocks of time, as to what you actually did. Very simple, just get you a little calendar and draw out the days and put some times on it and just keep a record for a week as to what you actually do. Kind of a pain to do it, but it really is necessary. And then look at the things you can eliminate. Now, in this process, there are a couple decisions you have to make. One is to decide to really follow God, that's going to be a high priority. The second is to discipline yourself. And the third is to really set and keep a set of priorities for a period of time. Otherwise, it's all wasted effort. Now, let's talk about a how-to of this whole thing. Now, I can't give you time to do it here in this class because I have one other thing I want you to do, and I'm going to be pressed for a little bit. What I'd like you to do is make a general schedule and just, you know, on a piece of paper, just put the various days in. I don't know how many there are there. How's that? Okay, and block it off into the morning, your noon, your afternoon, your evening meal, and the evening, okay? And then very quickly go through. This is Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, etc. And block off the time that's already occupied for mandatory times. See? Your meals, whatever. And what this will do, if you block out those times that are mandatory almost every week, then it will leave you with certain times in your personal schedule that are always open to your own option. You see what I mean on that? That'll only take you about 10 minutes to do that. And so you'll need to do that. So I'd recommend that you do that and to see what you have. Now, as far as making a schedule, I don't believe that anybody can keep a perfect schedule. But what you need to do is to then go through a process of doing some special things. And let me just give you some ideas. One is use dead times. Now, I call it dead time, traveling time. Ladies, when you're washing dishes, put on a cassette tape. And there are just all kinds of things, times when your mind almost goes into neutral and when you could be doing some other things. Be flexible. No schedule will ever work perfectly. Consider your husband's or your wife's schedule. Use your Saturday well. Most people waste their Saturday. Most of you men leave all the little stuff for Saturday. You know, this little thing and that you got to do around the house. I leave it for next year. But most of you probably leave it for Saturday. Now, what you need to do is to do those things between dinner and supper. Between end of work and supper. Put them in times when you normally can't use things. Try and plan 2 to 3 nights a week at home, if you possibly can, that the family's involved. At the beginning of each week, make some general plan and include some recreation. Okay, if you would pass out the 3x5 cards rather quickly from the side. Bob, as you pass it, would you tell those people that we're going a little late, we just plan, and so that they know what we're doing in here, so that they don't think we're cheating on them or something? Okay, now what I'd like you to do with this 3x5 card is to structure it like this. Now, I am an inveterate do list user, and I feel that it's probably one of the major things that's personally helped me, and I have a very simple plan. What I do is take this little 3x5 card, and I just carry them with me everywhere, and I write down do, call. Now, depending on whether you're doing much writing, I happen to do a lot of letter writing. Write and projects. Okay, now what I'd like you to do is take that 3x5 you have, make those little categories, and right now think of the next 2 or 3 days and fill in several things under do, call, project, or any other category that you want. I want you to do that right now. Let's just take about a minute. I mean, they'll come to your mind so quick. Use this card, I cross it off, and about every 2 days I'll make a new one because I'll have scratched everything off. Now, I want to give you an assignment of what you should do, and if you can give an hour to this assignment sometime today, and the husband and wife kind of maybe just make a plan, you know, get each other to do it, I'd like you to finish out the process, if you didn't, on what I was leading you to one activity, total of 4 for the next month. And finish that. Secondly, I'd like you to take this little do list and kind of finish it out. You can do it during church. Sorry about that. I do that sometimes. Whenever, if I'm having a quiet time, I keep this card right by me. And I put stuff down, or if I'm doing, I almost always have it with me. And just jot it in. And to finish this out and to use it this week. And see if it doesn't help you remember things and get some things done. Now, just in closing, I'd like to just share with you what I feel the major problems are in the area of getting anything done on time. And they're very simple. The first is television. It's probably the worst hindrance to getting anything done. The second is just self-indulgence, that you just indulge yourself in doing what you want to do. The third is laziness. The fourth is too many irons in the fire. And the fifth is poor planning. You just simply don't plan and get things done. And that's in accordance with no goals or desires. Yeah, telephone would be it also, and just interruptions, I think, would be a case. And each person will have another little set, and that certainly would be the case with many of us. Now, I'd like you to work on this week, and I'd like to get back from you next Sunday a little report, and we're going to take the first 10 minutes of our class period next Sunday to get questions on what didn't work and the frustrations you had. I hope there will be an occasional success story. That this did help you in some way. And I'd be very glad to help you personally. Give me a call, to try and help you with some particular question in the area of schedule or whatever it may be. So thank you for giving me an hour and 15 minutes today, and we'll see you next week.